And I said, okay, here's your issue. And listen to me very carefully. Your brain is a phenomenal computer, and it has spell check. Okay, y'all know what spell check is? Thank the Lord for spell check, because that was one of my worst subjects in school. Hallelujah, Jesus. Thank you for Microsoft. But here's how your brain works. It's incredible, Pastor. Every single word in whatever language your ears hear and interpret in your brain checks that word letter by letter. So, for example, when you say my name, colon, the brain runs through all of the words you have in your mind with a C. Then it runs to the next letter, which is O. So it could be Colorado, it could be colon, it could be colon, because the brain is rapidly checking, then it goes to the next letter, which is C-O-L, then it pulls up all the words that you have in your brain that start with C-O-L. Then when it gets to I, it starts narrowing those words down, and then finally when you get to C-O-L-I-N, the brain in that instant tells you, picture, this is colon. However you know me or not. When the brain hears the word diet, what are the first three letters in the word diet? Die. Do people want to die? You come to a wellness lecture to learn how to live. But if all your life you've been hearing diet, the brain is shocked when it hears the word die. So I forbid using that word. I talk more about feeling good, feeling better, joyful, praise, make up. Those are all positive words to the brain. And here was the second part of his you know, problem, raw. Would y'all really like some raw whatever? When you talk about, and by the way, you know, this thing about, you know, raw food diet, there is some truth about it, but there are people that put negative psychological connotations behind it that, wait, you ain't raw yet? Folks, let me tell you about something about organic, because, man, I always have, you know, the saints wanting to persecute me, because I'm a toxicologist, so I know the truth about organic. The vitamin A in organic carrots and regular carrots is the exact same. You cannot put vitamin A, which is actually the important compound in a carrot, more in one carrot than another. Organic just means that the pesticides and all these things are supposed to be removed. But here's the most important thing. You need vitamin A. They don't talk about acid rain, soil culturing. They don't tell you about that, but they put the word organic for you to think it's safe. And the reason why I'm bringing it up, next time you go to Walmart or wherever, look for organic beef jerky. I got saints telling me, see, they even cleaned the beef up. No, they haven't. Still does the same effects on the body, okay? So the important thing about wellness is imaging. And here's the last important thing. My buddy that wants to do these lectures on wellness and all that does not look and fit the picture of what he's presenting. Do you understand what I just said to you? You can't offer the people no chicken and you look like a buffalo. You understand? I mean, your stuff got to work on you. And then people will believe. No, I'm just telling the truth. I'm sorry. You know, Pastor took the risk of inviting me. But folks, every wellness principle I'm going to teach you is found in Scripture. Amen. I'm going to lay one on you tonight that you have sped read, some of you who speed read your Bible, that is actually the basis of tonight's lecture. When is the coolest part of the day? Does anybody know? Wherever you live, even if it's a tropical climate, whether it's Bakersfield, San Diego, about what time of the day is the coolest part of the day? In the morning, about 6 a.m., wherever you live. Here's the text I'm going to lay on you. Adam walked and talked with God during when? during the cool of the day. Now let's get into the importance of breakfast. Are you breaking the fast or taking a fast break? I want to share with you some research information, and that's why I say breakfast has now become the new rush hour of America. A survey was performed which stated that 31 million Americans admitted that they absolutely skipped breakfast. Let me tell you the importance of that before we get into the physiology from the psychological aspect. The thing that holds any unit of people together is called communication. Communication. When you don't have time to communicate in the mornings, to sit down and discuss the day or the day before, this is actually one of the factors any family counselor will tell you is leading to the deterioration of our homes. The most important time of the day when we should commune with God, but also our family, 31 million Americans who took this survey admitted that they totally skipped breakfast. But here was the other thing. 90% of the people who said that they ate breakfast in the morning did not eat breakfast at home. Does this sound familiar to some of you? Here is why breakfast is becoming the new rush hour of America. Kids have to get to school. I have to get to work. I got to beat that traffic. So what you do instead of spending relaxed communal time with your family, communicating and eating and taking your time, you find a way to take a fast break. Here's the other thing you need to know about building all of these freeways and expanding. Science has research has shown that people that live within 6 meters of a freeway, regardless of what you eat and what you don't eat, have an increased risk of cancer up to 35%. So every city where a freeway is expanding, those people are at higher risk of developing all multiple forms of cancer. That's in toxicology. But folks, this important hour where most of us claim we study our Bible in the morning, we don't even take time to eat and commune with our family. And it's become the new rush hour of America. Or if we don't eat breakfast at home, we're rushing out to eat something in the street. And remember, I told some of you folks last night, in the greatest tragedy that we did, not only to females, but one of the reasons why women are not living outliving men like they used to is because, I better be careful how I say this. I have nothing wrong with feminism and equal pay, nothing wrong with that. But there were certain things that women were taught that now women see as subjugation. Women used to cook and learn how to cook. Now it's microwave start. And the more women pattern themselves after men, in this sense, not learning how to cook, the lifespan of women is actually becoming closer to men. Because cooking is a survival mechanism, but it's also a behavioral mechanism. And how many of the little girls and little boys in here know how to cook? What y'all should have said was that I know to cook, do you? That's what y'all should have said to the guys. Not that I'm going to abandon this, because the more you start behaving like men, your lifespan is cut short. But breakfast, this rush hour, it's the antithesis of a principle of God. The best time to communicate with you, the best time for you to communicate with each other, the best time to set your children right for the day is breakfast. And here is a little thing where the devil has snuck in and destroyed this sacred hour so that now breakfast has turned more better into brunch. If you talk to most families today, instead of meeting at breakfast, let's all get together for brunch. And I'm going to show you now the physiological damage to that. When people were surveyed about what they drink or what composes their breakfast, they talked about three substances. One was a glass of wine, and these were non-alcoholics. The other one was a glass of orange juice, and the third was something brown. I think y'all know what that brown thing is. Any of you, right, any of you who have mutual funds and all that, Starbucks is earning a lot of money for people these days. And let me start with this one and tell you what the problem is. If you had a good night's rest, you should not feel tired in the morning. The coffee industry is exploiting your insomnia. And I don't have time for that lecture, but God even showed us in his word how to get better sleep without Ambien, Xanax, which don't help you to sleep. They just help to medicate you. And that's why if you look at Ambien, Xanax, whatever you're taking, it has 0.25 milligrams, then it goes to 0.5, then it goes to 1 milligram. If you are any form of sleep medication without employing what God has told you how to get sleep, here's what will happen. You need the pill to put you to sleep and the coffee to wake you up. And Starbucks is making a lot of money because people just don't know how to sleep properly. Wine in the morning. Guess why? Because some of you believe, well, Dr. Ross, you know, those scientists said a glass of wine a day. So does it matter what time of the day I take the glass of wine? Let me tell you what the scientists didn't tell you, which I told the congregation last night. If you were to survey people who live in the hood and people who live in Beverly Hills, the people in Beverly Hills can afford Chardonnay. You run out here in the streets of Bakersfield and start telling the brothers and sisters Chardonnay, they'll be like, what'd you say about my mama? They don't know that word Chardonnay, but you tell them about 40 ounce. Here's what the studies didn't tell you. The people who can afford wine can also afford good health care. The worst thing you can tell a rich person is, you are sick. What that translates into, I don't care about my fever. I don't care if I have cancer. I just want to know, what doctor do I need to buy so I can live and not be departed with my money? That's what the survey didn't show you. A glass of wine does not extend your life by any bit. God was right. A little of non-fermented wine for the stomach's sake, not the fermented kind. And the people have used the studies. And so the three things that people are drinking in the morning, a glass of wine, glass of some sort of fruit juice, orange seems to be the most popular one. And most popular of all three is a cup of coffee. That's why now Starbucks even has vending machines, because they can't get out the drug fast enough. Now, look, I'm not picking on anybody who's hooked on coffee. Guess what? I also got a lecture to show you how to get off of that stuff. And not get the headaches, not lose your energy. God put so much in nature that it took a person who studied poisons to figure out how to help people live well. And here was the other thing that people were doing. The most popular item that people eat in the morning is coffee and donuts. Any police officers in the congregation? But folks, here's what I want you to see. The breakfast hour is important for you, number one, to get your fiber fill, 28 grams of fiber. But when you are drinking these juices, eating some sort of fried food, and in every culture, it's called differently. In America, it's called donuts. In Mexico, it's called tortillas. In Colombia, it's called arepas, fried flour. When you are consuming just the liquid and fried flour in the morning and no fiber, it leads to the wrong type of AM flush. Now, let me tell you something about flushes that you didn't realize that you need to be hip to. I remember years ago, now I'm going to give you a rule. Now some of you may think I'm clowning around, but I'm actually giving you a rule. I remember years ago when you went in the bathroom section in Walmart. As you could tell, I'm a Walmart, Ross. When they came out with Burlington Coat Factory, I said, help me, Jesus, not to spend my money. I am a bargain shopaholic. Somebody needs to do a lecture on me for that, you know. I'm already salivating. I found out on Stockdale Highway, there's a Ross, and oh, have mercy. And let me stop. But you know what I found out? Probably about 10 years ago, if you went into the toiletry section, you had one or two air sprays, you know, for the bathroom. Come on, y'all know what I'm talking about. But today, if you go into that section, you got vanilla lavender, citrus spray, apple cinnamon. And let me tell you what's going on and why. Ladies and gentlemen, some of you get worried when you're constipated for a week. But let me tell you what's a better indicator of your colon health. How many people you clear out. Oh, have mercy. Jesus, help me. No, I'm telling you the truth. Some of y'all play around with those SBDs. Y'all remember those things? Silent but deadly. If you are a master at silent but deadly, something's wrong with your colon. The smell, no, I'm giving you a very important, I'm trying to behave myself, Lord Jesus. Oh, man. If you got to use two sprays, something's wrong with your colon. I mean, if you have to be off by yourself, have to leave the family gathering, if the dog, no, I'm serious. Dogs and cats have very sensitive smells. If the stuff you pass causes your dog and cat to start eating grass, something's wrong with your colon. Fiber helps to get all of the putrid stuff out of your colon. Here's why fiber is important. Your body takes about 24 hours, depending upon what you ate, to clear stuff out of your colon. If you eat an apple, it can take 1 to 3 days. If you eat a nice 8-ounce steak today, it's coming out of your system in 30 days. And what it's doing in there, it's fermenting. And those of you who pass nasty gas, you know who you are. Keep a straight look, straight face, because right now your neighbors are looking around. If your spouse sleeps on the couch without being commanded to sleep there, something's wrong with your colon. But in America, lots of people get this wrong type of AM flush. If you're peeing too much in the morning instead of doing number two, something is wrong with your colon. You should at least have one bowel movement once a day, by breakfast time or lunchtime. And the importance of breakfast is to get you that fiber flush. So here's the first rule of breakfast, and I need to tell you about your metabolism. The first rule of breakfast is you must eat a healthy breakfast within half an hour to 45 minutes of waking up, and I'll tell you why. Half an hour to 45 minutes. Your metabolism every day goes one way. It starts off fast at breakfast, and the body needs a complete meal to have enough fuel for the rest of the day. The metabolism only goes one way. Now, let me tell you what happens to people who classically skip breakfast. We're going to see as we go through the metabolism, when you wake up in the morning, your neurological system, sympathetic versus parasympathetic, everything is to wake you up, elevate the blood pressure, raise the heart rate, accelerate their breathing, excite the excitatory neurotransmitter, and feed me. That's what your body says. Here is a little warning about those of you who are all excited because somebody told you about juicing. Let me tell you why it appealed to you. I found that most people who need to improve their lifestyles are drawn to pain and punishment as a method to reduce weight. You think you need to be sweating in a gym or you need to negate yourself from food? Here's the thing you need to consider with juicing. And I was sharing this with Pastor. Those of you who juice in the morning, thinking you're doing something. Well, you know, you ain't know what you're talking about. I dropped a couple of pounds. Oh, yeah, but what'd you drop? Did you drop fat or muscle weight? You know these thing called teeth that God gave you? And saliva? Those are the two that your mouth needs to release the antioxidants in the food. Now, unless you plan to spit in the blender, I'm serious. You're not getting the benefit of the antioxidants. So whoever came up with the juice diet, they were appealing to your nature to punish yourself because you were told no pain, no gain. And we subliminally believe that. That's why I keep telling people, don't think vegetarianism is going to get you to heaven, even though it appeases your sensibilities. Because in Matthew 25, when God marshaled the goats and the lambs, and he put the goats on the left side and the lambs on the right side, they both ate grass, but only the sheep went to heaven. Stop punishing yourself. In the morning, you need a big breakfast. And here's the, man, I'm telling you, God is so good. And we're so silly sometimes. A big breakfast takes time to prepare and time to eat. He wants you to enjoy one of the two pleasures in life that physiologically overexcite and stimulate people. The second one I can't talk about. Because you got to be married for that one. But I'm serious. Those are the two pleasures talked about in the Bible. And the first one, big breakfast, you have to take time to make it. You have to take time to eat it. But that's what your body needs, is a huge breakfast in the morning that has fiber and not just cheap carbs. Like coffee and donuts. Then when you get to about lunchtime, my pointer. Is anybody upstairs? Can you click to the next slide? I think my pointer is about to die. Okay, yeah. You know what? You may have to manually control this because it's... Okay, we'll see if we'll get it back. Oh, there we go. During midday, now your metabolism is in between burn and store. So your midday meal should be a little bit smaller. And then finally, at dinner time, you're mainly in store mode. So whatever calories you consume during dinner, your body tends to turn it into a storage fuel. So folks, here is your metabolism from a.m. to p.m. Fast, slower, and slowest. Big breakfast, smaller lunch, and the smallest meal of the day should be dinner. Here is what we do when we go to brunch. You skip breakfast, and you automatically go into the midday and nighttime. And remember, I told you, metabolism only goes one way. Fast, slow, and slowest. But when you start skipping breakfast, the metabolism shifts right into store mode. So when people used to tell me, I don't know what I'm doing wrong. I'm only eating two meals a day. And I'm not seeing any results. Why? Because you have environmentally shifted your metabolism so that 500 calories consumed between lunch and dinner is not the same as 500 calories consumed only at breakfast time. And by the way, that is called the sumo wrestler diet. You guys know who sumo wrestlers are? You know what? Some of you have wrong impressions about sumo wrestlers. You think that sumo wrestlers eat a lot. No, here's what the sumo, and there's a book called The Sumo Wrestler's Diet. It'll blow you away. Sumo wrestlers eat two meals a day, skip breakfast, and they fall asleep after the dinner time meal on purpose. Does that sound like something anybody's doing? I see smiles and eyes looking across the pew. If you want to be the size of a sumo wrestler, skip breakfast, eat a huge lunch, a huge dinner, and fall right to sleep. That's why it wasn't working. So, the way to eat less but gain more is to skip breakfast. The minute you skip breakfast, you've set up your body's metabolism. So let me give you a little rule. I'm visual, and I want you to see this. Watch my hands. Here's what we do in America, okay? We start off with a small breakfast, bigger lunch, bigger dinner, big bellies. But when we start off with a big breakfast, smaller lunch, smaller dinner, small bellies. Do you got the visual? Right now, a change that you could make is to re-implement breakfast in the cool of the day, taking your time to chew. And we're going to find out why some of you need to chew your food instead of inhaling your food, especially those of you who are always on a rush. Because there's physiological basis to that. Let me go to that, actually. Now, before I give you that, here's one thing I want to give you. You know what, man? And some person had an issue with this. It's crazy. Let me tell you guys something. Are any of you big eaters? You know, you're like, don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. But some of us have a higher metabolism and like to eat more. You cannot eat three meals a day. But here's what you do to get around that. If you take a 1,500 calorie meal and chop it up into six small portions, that's the way you fool your metabolism into eating frequently but not hurting yourself by eating a lot of calories. Try it. I'm a big eater. I could sit down and eat all day long. But what I have to do is eat small meals frequently. Now, this is individual to each of you. But there are some people that can eat one meal three times a day. But look at the difference. If a big eater takes a 1,500 calorie meal, chops it up into six small pieces a day, you've only consumed 1,500 calories a day, you need 2,000 approximately to maintain the weight you're at. Those of you who bought that foolishness about HCG, remember, they were injecting people with HCG, they were making sure they only ate 500 calories a day. Had nothing to do with the HCG. But big eat, other people who eat three meals a day, 1,500, 1,500, 1,500, they're actually consuming more calories. So for big eaters, you want to chop up a big meal into small pieces. And for other people who can handle three meals a day, you just do the breakfast, lunch, and dinner. But here is the key. Here is the key. After your breakfast, your healthy snack has to be about 10 a.m. That's when you want to do your little fruit salad and your little handful of peanuts. Then you have your lunch. And then your next healthy snack before dinner has to be between 3 to 4 p.m. Because what you're doing is, it's a natural mechanism when you are a big eater, but as you feed that little beast, called your appetite, it's not about the number of calories, but it's about the amount of times you get that little rush from eating food, and that's what it results to. There's nothing wrong with being a big eater. The problem is that you might be eating full meals throughout the day, three times a day, but chop it up into smaller meals. Here are the summary of what Americans ate most for breakfast, and I don't have time to do. What I actually show you is how to make over your breakfast to make it more healthy, but I'll just mention some of them based upon the survey, and I'm going to make a couple of comments on one or two of them. The first one is about 39% of all Americans eat leftover pizza for breakfast. Men in particular. You see, I saw a couple of brothers. Yeah, dog, yeah, you're talking my language now. I'm a man. I could eat cold pizza. I don't need to warm up my food. Oh, a cold cereal with milk, 31%. Let me give you a simple rule to know how a cereal is bad for you, especially for your kids. Cereals that are designed to hook kids with poor nutrition are always sold with a cartoon character involved. They're great. Who's that? Look at that. Tony the Tiger. Silly rabbit. Tricks are for kids. Captain. And I know this may not resonate in this community, but there was a leprechaun. What's a leprechaun? Don't even exist. Lucky, look at that. Lucky Charms. That's your key that it's a bad cereal for your kids because they're trying to sell it with a cartoon character. And guess what most people say? Well, if it's good for my kid, it must be good for me. So what I'm telling you is beware of the food industry. When they're trying to sell something with a cartoon character, they're trying to hook your kids because they know that a lot of y'all don't use the rod anymore and you're going to have that little incident in the supermarket. I want it. Now. I need it, mommy. Now. I'm going to cause a scene and embarrass you. No. You can't use your belt on me because even though God says use the rod, you're into timeout now. And they know you have gotten to the place appeasing your kids. Don't embarrass mommy. There might be some church folk around. I might run for office one day. Let me just buy it for you. Go to Staples. Go to Staples. And look at what they have at the checkout counter. It's to start war between you and your kids. Kit Kat, Snickers. And now Staples and Office Depot have cereal at the checkout. And here was the other one, 20% bacon and eggs. Now, I'm trying to give you guys parts of other lectures because I'm only here a short time. Dude, let me tell you what the whole thing about eating pork was all about, and 20% of Americans do this. Around the world, the number one killer of people is heart disease. Let me tell you what we found. The first step of damage to the body in an artery is inflammation before that artery becomes blocked. The scientists, not me, researched all of the food products out there, and this is what they found. When you look at inflammation in the artery, which is the first step to blocking the artery, they found that pork products cause the highest amount of inflammation, followed by beef, followed by, now this was interesting, scavenger fish cause more inflammation in the artery than chicken. And the only substance they found that did not produce inflammation in your arteries to block them off, if it's in the heart, it's a heart attack. If it's in the brain, it's dementia or Alzheimer's disease, were fruits and vegetables. So let me show you how I kept telling our churches we need to reteach this. The whole issue about eating pork has nothing to do with your character and your salvation. It has to do with protecting your heart against the number one killer around the world. And if you go back and read Leviticus 11, that's why God, when it came to fish, said scales and fins. Because salmon does not produce the same amount of inflammation as shrimp, lobster, and crab. Now, let me tell you why this is important. Right now, we'll go on and end this lecture. There's a confederation of Baptist churches, Pastor, that have asked me year after year to come and teach their people wellness. When I mentioned this thing about the bacon, you know, what it does to the arteries, I never told them to stop eating pork. In the middle of my lecture, the first mother of the church, she says, "Dr. Ross, hold up, hold up." And you know how Baptist ladies are. They all know how to preach. I just gave them the concept. This is a first day church. The mother of the church got up and said, "Folks, do you understand what this man is teaching us? He's showing us that all these years that we've been eating the pig, that we've been inflaming our arteries and killing ourselves." She says, "Church, I want to make a pact." And she got into that Baptist thing amongst all of us that from this week to next week, we shall cut down and eliminate our eating of the pork. Can I get, this is the first lady of the church. I had to sit back, get my sweat rag, and say, "Hallelujah, sister, preach, preach." When it's taught right, you don't have to judge and malign and degrade people. The first lady of the church got up and preached a sermon to all first day churches, and she speaks with authority and weight that she's going to make a pact to cut down and eliminate her pork eating. Because she got the concept. And she said, "Even though this man didn't say it, I can see if I want to protect my heart, I need to eat more fruits and vegetables." That's how it should be taught. Okay? So, remember I told you about the fried flour. All this is lack of fiber. And now I'm going to get to why, two reasons why this is important. The more important thing than calories is actually the glycemic index. Don't have time to go into it, but this here's the thing you need to remember. The higher a substance on the glycemic index, higher your risk of diabetes, elevated risk of hypertension, elevated risk of cancer. The more you consume high glycemic foods, you are elevating your risk, making your risk higher to disease. When you eat foods that are low glycemic or low to moderate, you are actually lowering your risk of disease. And look at all of the things that Americans ate, according to the survey, for breakfast: bagels, cakes, Cheerios, cornflakes, pies, pasta, white bread, pancakes, all high glycemic index, meaning that we were starting out the day, many of us, damaging ourselves. And when you do enough damage over the years, it takes 8 years to develop diabetes. By the way, the research that I did found that we can actually identify when you're in those 8 years of developing diabetes and reverse it. By the time most of you end up at the doctor, it's irreversible. But here's the thing. Medicine is not about reversing your disease. In this country, it's about money. I'm sorry to say that. I remember, I like to interweave reality with things. I remember I got into trouble. This is when I said, "This is it for me. I gotta go. I have to go another route to teach people." I was working with a chiropractor, doc. I was working with a chiropractor because I told you're a chiropractor, right? Or podiatrist, I'm sorry. But it's the same turf war with you and the ortho people. You know, I understand. I was working with a chiropractor, and I told the chiropractor, "You know what, in medicine, the only thing we have for musculoskeletal pain is drugs and procedures. Here's what we'll do. Let's catch patients early and make a commitment to work with them for 2 or 3 years to actually fix what ails them." One of the success stories you're looking at. When I was a super athlete, developed all sorts of, I had 3 discs herniated. When I looked at my MRI, I thought I had cancer. Man, I cried like a little baby. "Mommy," she said, "son, you're teaching people all this stuff. Now it's time for you to believe in God." You know what I did? The chiropractor, we dropped a little weight, worked on my posturing, because you know how we brothers are. When we walk, you know, I had to change the way I walk, change the shoes that I wore, inserts. And it took 3 years, but all the sciatica pains went away. It bothers me from time to time. But it showed me that lifestyle intervention slowly, and I'm sure you could tell people as a podiatrist, majority of their diseases that you come to see the podiatrist are due to excessive body weight. That's why we have shoe inserts, to cushion that weight. So lifestyle is the thing. But look at what we're doing in the morning. High glycemic index, increasing our chance of disease. And now the last slide, let me get to show you this. Here's the concept you need to understand. Not only breakfast early in the morning, here's why the fiber is important, alkalinity, and we cannot forget taste. If you don't like something, and this is funny, I've talked to Christians who feel guilty because they don't like the taste of vegan food. Well, you know, it has animal products in it. Okay, well, all right, but it tastes nasty. That's okay. You need to find good foods that God has created for you to eat. The whole vegan thing came about because of processed foods. And they're still processed, except they took out a couple of the things that added flavor. That's why if any of you have tried the vegan diet and you failed because most of the stuff tastes like paper or it produced a lot of abdominal pain and gas, because they put other processed materials in there to substitute for the meat that they took out, egg product, whey that they took out. So the only way to avoid a lot of this mess is to actually cook and make your food yourself. But here's the concept. Here, there are multiple signals in your body that produce satiety, but here are the three most important ones. Number one, when you consume a food that has fiber in it, it expands your stomach. So the first important thing is fiber. Now, this part of the stomach is acid, but this part of the stomach here is base. Any of you have heard of gastric bypass and all these crazy abdominal surgeries? They're trying to target this part of the stomach, not this part so much. They used to reduce this, and some of them still do, but this is the key right here. Okay? This is acid, this is base. So when you eat fiber, the first signal that you are full is stomach expansion. Then as the food moves slowly down into the duodenum, it becomes a base. That's called alkalinity. Once the fiber and the alkalinity are produced in this part of the stomach, it sends a signal to your brain that you are full. Once that signal is sent to your brain that you are full, it sends a signal back to your mouth, your saliva glands, that you are full. Let him or her stop eating. So let me show you, go back and show you a couple of issues that we have with breakfast when it's a rush hour and not breaking the fast. First of all, when you're eating fast, you're sending a lot of acid to this part of the stomach, and that's why Tums, Prilosec, if any of you are on it, the doctor typically tells you to take it in the morning, or if it's really bad, taking at night. And folks, you are damaging your body's ability to absorb calcium, B12, which are important in the contractions of your heart and energy levels. But in the morning, when you're rushing through breakfast, the first damage you're doing is you're rushing this acid into this part of the duodenum. If you don't get alkaline in the duodenum, then you end up hungry all day. Because acid equals hunger. Acid base equals I'm full. This is why our granny told us to chew our food 50 times before you swallow it. Matter of fact, Ellen White even talks about chewing your food properly. But when you're in a rush and you're swallowing your food, when you can get, you know, I know people that brag about this. I could put down a plate of food in 10 minutes. Do that over time, you're damaging yourself. So you need fiber, you need the alkalinity, and another part of your brain called the limbic lobe needs the taste. Every meal should have fiber, alkalinity, and taste. This is why diets don't work. because typically stuff you don't want to eat, you're just eating it because somebody scared you into thinking that you need to look a certain way, you need to weigh a certain weight. And that's the last thing I'll actually end with. As I hope you understand, it's important this week, what I want you to do is recreate your breakfast. I don't have time to go into that lecture, but recreate your breakfast by adding more fiber to it, taking your time to eat, and finding foods that you like, but taking your time for breakfast. Let me end with this BMI foolishness. Now, folks, a lot of research in medicine was never performed on, say, people from Africa or South America. It was all Europeans. According to my BMI scale, it's funny, every time I go to, I always pick a different doctor every year because I only do one blood test. But I'm always, you know, checking to see what they're going to tell me. I never tell them what I do. But it's interesting the comments I get. First of all, they don't look at me. They just go by the numbers. They're like, ooh, Mr. Ross, you need to lose some weight. Because according to your BMI, you're an excessively obese person. I'm like, okay, doc. And you're at high risk of diabetes. I'm like, what was my fasting random blood sugar? It was about 89, but your A1C here says that you are at high risk for diabetes, Mr. Ross. A little too much of the sausage. I know. Yeah, bro, man. I know. Little bit of the 40 ounces. And did you gangbang recently? No, I'm serious. No, without looking at me. Here's the thing about BMI, especially, I'm going to liberate a lot of you sisters. Because y'all done lost your physiological advantage. Remember when, you know, if you wanted to find a lady who had body, you look for a sister. Because, you know, that's what the world knows. I'm seeing all sorts of sisters with Latino man and white man and all that because they found out the secret that brothers threw to the side. And here it is. BMI is ethnically based. It should be based upon the size of your bones and your muscle to fat density. The only way you can truly assess BMI is by weighing yourself in a tank. And the reason why that's important is I have met many people of color who are totally fine because men of color tend to have broader shoulders, bigger arms. Women of color tend to have wider hips, more density. You are killing yourself sometimes based upon false advice due to your natural physiology. The modeling industry never had you in mind. Now they do because of political pressure. But here's what I'm saying, and this is why even in the message this morning I said, we got to be careful how we talk to our little girls in particular. Beauty is in the eye of the beholder, but true beauty comes from within. And I want all our young people to remember that. Ladies and gentlemen, when you go to a doctor who does not understand the ethnic slanting of BMI, a lot of you sisters can actually be 15 to 20 pounds higher on the scale and your body weight is just fine. If you're Latina or African-American origin. A lot of you brothers, it can be up to 20 to 30 pounds higher. If you see a brother 6'4", 250, it is not the same as somebody else 6'4" and 250. Not at all. I weigh 225. I don't mind, you know, sharing the weight with you, etc. That's why they think my BMI is off the scale. So just keep that in mind. So just to review, number one, how many minutes should you wait to eat your breakfast, or how many minutes is it good to eat your breakfast after you wait? 30 to 45 minutes. What is the important thing you need in that breakfast in the morning? Fiber, there you go. And if you're drinking too much of a liquid and a fried food, what will that lead to throughout the day?
Hunger.
Hunger, right, because you're not getting enough acidity, and alkalinity, and you're not getting enough taste of the proper things that you need. Now, which is a better indicator of your colon health? The amount of... Now, look, I'm not saying that, you know, once you fix it up, that you're going to be passing gas that smells like milk honey or honeydew. But, man, if it's really putrid, something's wrong with your colon. Okay? Now, does your metabolism go various ways or does it only go one way every day? One way. When is it fastest? When does it slow down? When is it absolutely slowest? Okay. In America, is it typically small breakfast, bigger lunch, bigger dinner? Or bigger breakfast, smaller lunch, smaller dinner? The first one, right. Now, if we want nice and trim bellies, we want to start out with what? And then what? And then what? There you go. If we're eating two meals a day and falling asleep, we're becoming like what? Sumo wrestlers, exactly. Exactly, exactly. Sister Mackie, you're an educator. Did the class do pretty well? They did very good. They did. Everybody gets it. Folks, that ends my lecture. You know, if there's a couple of questions, feel free to leave if you want. I think there's CDs available if you want to kind of get some of the lecture. If you have any questions, I'll entertain those. Yeah. Juicing. Uh-huh. Is it a mic or can we? Can everybody hear or question? No, I have nothing against juicing. But what I'm saying is
testing,
for a reason.
Testing.
And the reason why she asked the question, what do I have against juicing? I don't have anything against juicing. What I have a problem with are fads that never explain or are in concordance with the natural science God has given us.
Testing.
He gave us teeth for a reason. The only people that should really resort to juicing are people that may be real old, you know, don't have dentures. You know, I mean, mastication, the chewing of food, is actually a pleasure in life. Yeah, you're meant to chew and enjoy your food. Because when I'm at the welcome table, you know, I'm going to say that, the welcome table, I'm not going to say, yo, Jesus, where's the blender in this place? You know?
I have a question. You said dinner time is good to have a light meal. What time is dinner time?
You know what? Here's the key about that, because we all work different hours. You want to eat your dinner within 4 hours of 3 to 4 hours of falling asleep. That's really the concept. So, like, if you get off at work late, 8 o'clock, let's say you eat dinner at 8, you really want to have, you know, go to sleep by 11 or 12. And what happens with the body is it adjusts to that. So if any of you are shift workers, the principle is still the same. When you start running into people who have these rules and they think you're going to lose your salvation because you don't eat dinner before 6, which is probably what a lot of people have heard, that is not the principle. That's a misguided person who's stuck in rules. By the way, read DSM-5. There's a diagnosis specifically for Christians called orthorexia nervosa. People are fixated on healthy living and they don't know why. It's more of a control, yeah. People who have, DSM-5 talks about people who have control issues, and one of the issues they love to exercise their control in is diet. Orthorexia nervosa.
Okay, I have a question.
Yeah.
I'm a snacker. As you said, love to eat. Mm-hmm. I can actually eat 3 meals and I'd be like, just want a snack. I want something. I'm Mexican, half Arab. So food is not, a lot of it's not healthy, as you said, tortillas and whatnot. Would the 6 meals a day be a better idea than the 3 meals for someone who is a snacker?
Exactly. And here's the thing. You want to make sure those snacks are either part of a big meal or they're healthy snacks. That's the key. And that's why I talked about there are people who are big eaters. But the thing about a big eater, we believe we need the calories from eating frequently, but no, it could be a cultural behavioral thing. And as long as you, you know, do the little meals, it's not going to do any metabolic damage. Yeah.
My question is, I read some health books and they were saying that you should wait till your food digests before you eat again. But then I'm thinking, if I'm eating 6 times a day, will my food really have time to digest? Because I read that it takes 4 to 6 hours or 5 or 6 hours for your food to digest. And if you divide 24 by that, well, it would be less since you sleep for 8 hours. I'm just wondering.
Your body is an incredible organism that adjusts and adapts. And that's why I was saying some of us have a physiology that does not fit the textbooks. That's why certain foods do certain things to different people. So even though the textbook mentions that, I'm specifically talking about big eaters. You know, people that there would be better eating small meals throughout the day because it keeps their metabolism going. So a big eater is not one that suffers from indigestion. You know, if you look at all the people buying Prilosec, Prevacid, and all that stuff now, it's evidence to the fact that those might be big eaters that are eating too many heavy meals throughout the day. So I can't guess what your metabolism is, only you know. So you have to tailor it to your personal situation. Yeah, it may fit the textbook, it may not. Look at BMI, exactly. Like, look at BMI, what I pointed out. I'm serious. You put me up with my height and weight, I am grossly obese. That's what it says. Don't, what? No. What I'm saying is it depends upon if you're a big eater or a small eater. There's some people who can do 3 meals a day and they feel satisfied. Other people are big eaters. When I say big eaters, I mean they have to eat frequently to not feel hungry. So it's not about the caloric intake. It's about the amount of times you eat. But if you take a large meal, chop it up, that works for you. If you don't, you know, then big meal, small meal, smaller meal. Yeah.
Question.
What is a big breakfast? Someone was asking.
Okay. Big breakfast would be you want to include something from the fiber group. You want to include something from the liquid group. You want to include something from the carbohydrate group and the protein group. I don't have time to, you know, go over the whole makeup of it. But that's basically you want something from the 3 fuel sources. And according to some of the things I went through, those, you know, cereal, whether you're doing soy milk or not, you know, some sort of bread, some sort of protein, and not all protein are animal meats. Yeah. Sure. Why not? Any other questions?
I do. Sorry. You said something about metabolism.
Yeah.
How do I know what my metabolism is like, if it's fast or slow? And is it possible to increase my metabolism?
Is it possible
to increase it? Like to
let me tell you the fallacy about that. And women and men, the physiology is different. The only thing that can really affect your metabolism is thyroid hormone. That's it. Thyroid hormone, your thyroid. All it does is affect your metabolism, but not weight gain and weight loss unless you have a metabolic condition. Every woman who has a baby, after you have that baby, your metabolism naturally slows down. So, you know, don't get mad at your husband, you know, et cetera. But women are more prone to hypothyroidism and their metabolism slowing down. But that's why God gave y'all estrogen, to counterbalance that. There isn't really a way to speed up your metabolism. What you can do is help it burn more efficiently by choosing and selecting better foods. So people used to tell me in clinic, yeah, it's my thyroid, doc. That's why I gained 35 pounds. Lie. Your hypothyroidism will cause you to gain 3 to 5 pounds tops. But the spoon and the fork will add the other 34. Even if you have a slow metabolism, when you exercise, proper diet, your body will work with it, okay? So there's not really any way to speed up your metabolism unless you're taking thyroid hormone, you know? Well, if you're gaining a lot of weight, your metabolism is slow, and it naturally slows down as we age. But you can still, you know, employ the proper principles of wellness. The real way to tell is, how do you feel? Do you feel sluggish? I mean, are you gaining a lot of excessive weight that you shouldn't? Those are ways to tell if it's slow. Yeah.
I have a question. Should I eat before I walk in the morning or walk before I eat?
You should have a small, like very small meal, before you go walking. And I'm glad you asked that question because the principle doesn't change. Working out in the morning is actually best, or at nighttime. Not the full breakfast, just a portion of it, because you need fuel in the system before you go work out.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm. Not the full breakfast, though. That'll give you cramps. Mm. But you may want to take the glass of orange juice, or maybe a little bit of oatmeal, a handful of fruit. Then you go work out. Then you have the rest of your breakfast. Mm. Yeah. Principle doesn't change.
Amen.
I'm exaggerating, of course.
No, I know. But I'll give you an answer to that one. Yeah.
Okay. What is it?
Well, I'll tell you. Your brain and your kidneys are better at figuring out how much water you need than a doctor. And here's what I mean by that. You have a thirst reflex. People came up, there are two camps of thought. I like to answer things completely so that we understand. There are people who are into pain and punishment who will automatically tell you drink 8 glasses of water a day when you ask them why. I don't know. Because they're into pain and punishment. There's another camp who just regurgitate what they've been told for years. Let's go back to natural physiology. If you exercise and sweat, you're going to want to drink more water. If you're more sedentary, you're not going to have such a thirst reflex. If you live in Bakersfield versus San Diego, because of the humidity, that's what humidity does. Humidity dehydrates you. So if you're in a desert climate, your body's going to provoke more of a thirst reflex. If you're in Alaska and you drink 8 glasses of water a day, you're going to give yourself diabetes insipidus.
Diabetes
insipidus is a type of diabetes produced by the hypothalamus, which is based upon too much excessive water intake in when you don't need it. So here's my bottom line. Listen to your body. Don't listen to Dr. Oz, Dr. Ruth. Oh, she's dead, right? I'm sorry, you know. My bad. But what I'm saying is, God gave you kidneys, a hypothalamus, and a thirst reflex for you to know when you're thirsty. So your requirement of water will change daily. You know, it'll change on a daily basis. I do have a lecture, by the way, on how you figure out how much water you need. But, you know, I can't give you everything at one time. It'll just confuse you. But it's based more on common sense than, this person said drink 8 glasses of water a day. Or there are people that believe if you pee and your urine doesn't look like water, something wrong with you. No, something wrong with you. What you looking at the color of your pee for? You got that type of time? What sort of psychological issue you got? Live life. Get friends. You know, looking at the color of your pee? I mean, come on. You telling me something wrong with you. No, there's people that tell me, yep, guess what, Colin? My pee's nice and clear. I'm like, oh, get away from me. I ain't shaking your hand, you know. Any other questions?
Well, she mentioned the water. I've heard that you should take your body weight, I'll say, divide it by 2, and then take that out and convert it into ounces. Is there anything to that at all?
Once again, you have a thirst reflex. That thirst reflex has done all the calculations you need to know how much water. Yeah. Any other questions?
When will he return?
Okay, we're going to work out somewhere we can actually
he's
do a
coming
series
back.
And go
we're,
through
we're,
a more
We're going to have him
focus.
Back. Because he has a wealth of knowledge, and he hasn't even shared... I mean, it's just a very small amount with us. So we've got to have you back
Definitely.
In another lecture series.
Yeah.
So we appreciate it. Did you enjoy that today?
Yeah.
Amen.
And come
Say
out.
Amen. Give him a hand.
You know.
Praise the Lord. Yeah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you so much, Dr. Ross. And may God bless you and your ministry. It is a ministry. And we love the way you break things down and make them practical for us to